Okay. We're ready. The remedy for hopelessness. Isaiah chapter 61. Anybody need a remedy for hopelessness? Well, we're going to give it today.
Amen.
Remedy for hopelessness. Isaiah chapter 61. Everybody there? I'm getting there. Look to verse 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So let's see this passage. God has given you his beauty for your ashes. Isn't that right? He has given you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, which is depression. Now, if you can believe that God, who's so perfect, you do believe that, don't you? If you can believe in a God who's so perfect and he loves you, then you must be worth loving. Isn't that right? All right, look over to Psalm chapter 8. Some people are still dealing a lot with that self-worth. You just got to believe and receive that God loves you. Another message to go about receiving the goodness of God. Maybe we'll do that next time around, see how far we get with this one. How about it? Psalm 8. Verse 1, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name above all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Underline that if you're allowed to write in your Bible. Because, here's the reason for that. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You can't still him with passivity. How many know that? You have to steal him by opening up your mouth and speaking words against him.
Amen.
Or better still, that word, if we go to Matthew 21, you'll see that ordained strength is the same as ordaining praise. He can't stand to be in the midst of praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou still the enemy and the avenger. Look over to Matthew chapter 21. Say ordained strength. Keep that word strength and praise. They're almost synonymous in the Word of God, or in these two passages of scriptures we're going to, at least. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Let's start with verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Did you ever see those tables?
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yes, they are.
See, this is a Jesus you don't want to mess with. Nah, he loves you, right? I can just imagine them doing that, because all of us have taken fits. He took a fit there. Justifiable one.
Mm-hmm.
Not over the football game.
Yeah.
He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written. See how Jesus? It is written. He was the word, and he's saying it is written. My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto them, hearest thou these, what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, now he's going to quote Psalm 8:2. Watch the change here. Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Praise equals strength. That's what the word says. Isn't that right? And you know yourself, after you had a session, not psychotherapy session, I mean a session with the Lord in praise and worship, how you feel on the inside. Even after we have our worship and praise here. Praise is probably praise and thanksgiving are the highest language of faith. I would say it is. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. Hebrews 13:15 is a scripture for you. It says to offer up a sacrifice of praise. That's when you don't feel like it. Hey, he sacrificed for you, didn't he? That's the least we could do is sacrifice for him. Isn't that right? All right. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
Now look back to Psalm 9. Can you see why the enemy likes to keep you sad? He wants to do that to keep you weak or to keep you without, to keep you in a state of hopelessness. He wants to keep you weak. Psalm 9. Look to verse 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Refuge, trust. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Say trust. And look to Jeremiah chapter 17. Look to verse 5. Everybody there? This reminds me of Mark 4. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Ooh. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, that's a low-growing shrub, and shall not see when good cometh. You don't want to be in that condition, do you? You don't even see when good cometh? Good cometh.
Yeah.
Faith cometh.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
Amen.
You will too.
Yes, sir.
For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see it when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Here's you. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the... This is like Psalm 1. Talks about being planted like the trees by the waters, and you shall prosper. Okay. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
Yeah.
Psalm 40. We'll start tying this all together here shortly. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, and praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed again is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now look to verse 2 again. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now, besides this horrible pit being hell, I also see this as being a pit of depression. Right. Nobody wants to be in a pit of depression. Isn't that right? But this psalmist called out to the Lord for deliverance. And David was depressed, and that's what he wrote a lot of his psalms. You know that? David and Moses, they wrote most of the psalms. Nobody wants to be in a pit of depression. You in agreement? That's a horrible pit. How about it? When someone is depressed, the devil comes along and his tormentors and even adds more destructive thoughts to your life. He brings up everything we have done wrong and then some. You've been minding your own business. Let's say you're in a grocery store and you are focused a little bit on shopping. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, or you could be taking a walk, or whatever you're doing. And that thought cometh. You're 68 years old, and this happened in sixth grade, and you're thinking about it when that thought flies by. He wants to keep us down. That's the purpose of that. Down and out, so we never do damage for his kingdom. Because people are down and out, they just don't do much for God or the kingdom. Now, let's take someone with cancer. And don't look at Tony. He's healed. I'm just illustrating. But I knew a lot of heads would go back there, so I got your heads wiped from going back there because he's healed. Okay, I was going to say, Dorothy, nudge Christine and tell her that. Okay, wake Rick up, tell him that. Yeah, you don't sleep. Rick pays attention. Now, I brought that out for a reason. Someone does, you know, has cancer, people pray, ask if they can be of any help, go over and clean the house or whatever they can do for them. I don't think anybody's gone to Christine's yet because Tony's healed. But the point I want to make is, here's the other case. Someone with depression. Well, someone will offer up a quick prayer and then disappear. Right? They scatter. They have a hard time dealing with someone that's down. And you shouldn't. What's the difference if Satan attacks you in your physical body or in your head? No difference. We said before, and we'll say it again, that depression has been labeled as the common cold of psychological disorders. It's an act of sinking down, hollow feeling, low state, lack of courage, sadness. Some will just put their hand on their mouth because they're going to yell out, quit talking about me. Everything about depression is down. Down. The heart cry of the depressed one is, have mercy on me. I don't need scolded, judged, or rejected. Hello? I need acceptance, affirmed, and loved. If you don't give them what I just mentioned, anything you have to say to them will fall on deaf ears. Okay. Look to Psalm 42. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Someone who is depressed needs an assurance that can only come from a God of hope. And he is a God of hope. He's referred to in the Word of God as a God of hope. Without hope, we'll eventually throw in the towel. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to curse God and die. Here's a comment from something I read. I don't even know where. But it said, someone once said that we can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but only 1 minute without hope. Truth can restore hope. And that's what we're giving you, the Word of God, which is truth. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10. Everybody there? For we are his workmanship. Remember before I told you that word's poem. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Not a good place to be. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Jesus. For he is our peace, who hath made one, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Back up to verse 12, down around part B, or actually the last phrase there. It says, covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Say, we have hope.
We have,
the blessed hope. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So whatever you think about God's fairness or unfairness, it says it right here. Everybody will have the opportunity. It says, for the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Now, I taught South America, so I spent a lot of time up in Andes Mountains. Vicariously. Then after I got saved, I wondered about those people up there. But there's the answer. Right. How he appeared? He could appear in the flesh. Yep. But they're included in the all men and woman. Yep. So the grace of God in some way, somehow, and more than likely through a missionary, hath appeared. Doesn't have to be a missionary. Could be a donkey, hath appeared unto all men. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
You know the grace of God appeared unto you? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. Now, you know how people say about grace, oh, that they're just preaching greasy grace. What's greasy about this next passage? Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now. Right now. Looking for, this will help you to do that, Bob, you're teaching Revelation, that blessed hope. No matter how things get, and they can get bad at times, that's for everybody. Everybody deals with tribulation. The Bible says, in this world you shall have tribulation. Not everybody's tribulations are the same. They could be. I mean, you could name a lot of tribulation. Sickness, disease, financial lack, marital discord, a child that rebels against you, and on we go. Get overlooked for promotion. You see, all those temptations, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, have been common to man. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and pure unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that word doesn't mean odd. And this, you could look it up, it means specially purchased people. A special people. In God's eyes, no matter what your head telling you, you are a special people. Special people with a special pizza shop and a chiropractic business. Special people. Bill, you're special. When's the last time Kathy told you you're special? You don't have to answer that. Okay, let's move on. Okay, we got all through that, right? Let's go back. We did Ephesians 2, didn't we, Tim? Yeah, very good, thank you. All right, let me go on with this then. Depression is a disturbance or disorder of one's mood or emotional state. It's characterized by persistent sadness, heaviness, darkness, or feelings of emptiness. Those suffering from depression believe life is bad and the prognosis for improvement is nil. Bad place to be in, huh? That's why we got to be encouragers. Negative thoughts about themselves and their circumstances remain. Now, I want to check out some physical symptoms of depression. Check these off. Okay, how about lack of energy? This will knock everybody out. / excessive fatigue. Sleep disturbance. Insomnia, which is difficulty in sleeping or waking up and can't get back to sleep. Then on the opposite end, others that sleep all the time. Hard to concentrate. That's why I don't preach 90 minutes anymore. Not for me. For people listening, it's hard to concentrate. I still don't know how we did that 3 times a week. You know what? We must have had some real hungry people then. I don't know how we did it. Charles Neiman agrees. He said he didn't know how we did it, but we did it. Well, a lot of you come out of nominal church where you didn't get the word of God and you were hungry. And now you're filled. No, you never filled, right? Feelings of guilt, worthlessness, persistent sadness, and pessimistic attitudes. Weight loss or weight gain. Irritability or low frustration tolerance. Isn't this edifying?
Okay, thank
you. If I give you the symptoms, then you can deal with them, right? A depressed person has very little emotional reserve. Small things tick them off and set them off. Isolation and withdrawal. Henry David Thoreau said, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Men have trouble opening up. Sometimes they cover their pain through being an alcoholic or alcoholism or a workaholic. Loses interest in activities they used to enjoy. Have suicidal thoughts." Look at 2 Corinthians 10. You okay out there? Okay. Been a while since I've been up here. I didn't know how you used to behave. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. I'll go get the eyes checked after the ears. That's tomorrow. It's been 12 years. They're all happy. That one next to you needs it too. I can hear. I got selective hearing. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Look to verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's work. Who takes the time to do that? "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity those thoughts, every thought to the obedience of Christ." Ephesians chapter 6. We're going back here. We're in Ephesians chapter 2 before 10 through 14, right? See, Dean was paying attention. So was Tim. Look through verse 14, Ephesians 6. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take it the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That word, by the way, is rhema, the spoken word. See how important it is to speak the word? Now, when I discuss this, if I go any further, I'm just going to deal with the word and this Holy Spirit to get free. If you're suffering from something serious, it's not shameful to go to the doctor if you need some medication, or Michelle set you up with some Sammy or something. I know him. You know, it's ironic. Sammy, it's a natural supplement. And over Italy, they can get a script for Prozac, just like you can get one here in America. But they prefer, and it's not cheap, to buy the natural supplement, SAMe, which is a mood elevator, helps you with depression, it helps with the liver too, doesn't it, Michelle? Can you imagine that though? they pay out of pocket for SAMe as opposed to going to get a prescription drug. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying there are natural things out there. Jacob Teitelbaum, of all people, because he dealt with pain. Pain 1, 2, 3. Wrote a couple books. He uses a term for treating patients with chronic pain. And it, he takes, and you could take this approach, I want to say, with depression. The term is capital C, capital A, capital N, CAM. And it simply means complementary and alternative medicine. Complementary C, alternative A, medicine M. We could talk about that a little bit later. In other words, he does first treat people with nutritional supplements. And if they're not working, then he doesn't have a problem prescribing, let's say, for pain, something for pain. He just writes on a bottle, do not smash and put up nose. Because then you're not using it for pain. You use it to fly away. There are people who do that, by the way. Acts chapter 10. You okay out there?
Yes, sir.
Are you in condemnation?
No.
Well, I'll take communion, you'll get out.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You ready? You can recite this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Why do people say he does bad? It says went about doing good. That's pretty clear. And his good was healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Now let's deal with some oppression, regression, depression, and see how we, let's explain them and then see how we deal with them. Oppression, you could deal with through the word, through worship, and praise. Regression and depression, anything dealing with meds, nutritional supplements, or even psychotherapy. Okay? I don't understand this. I got to hit my head. No, I don't want to. Doc, just put it back in. Why do you go, or if you do go, to a secular psychotherapist who doesn't know who he is, because they usually think they're just dichotomy, soul and flesh. Now, some people are going to get mad here, but you know what? I don't really care. You're a triune being. You are a spirit. You possess the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. And you live in a physical body. So you're tripart, but you're going to help with someone who thinks they're two-part. And if he's not a Christian psychotherapist, if you need to go there, he's not going to counsel you through the Word of God. So basically, what he'll be doing is dealing with the symptoms of your problem, because he can't lay the axe to the root, because the Word can only do that. You do understand the Word, the Word, the Word. Now, if it makes you feel good to go there and give them 150, whatever it is, I've never been to one. No, I didn't say I needed some. I just said I've never been to one. I go to my wife. Oh, no, Bert's brutal, man. No mercy gift there. I will never. I go to God, right? Okay, so. Regression and depression, that could be meds, psychotherapy, nutritional supplements. Now, obsession and position, this requires deliverance through the laying on of hands. Like if you're hearing voices all the time and your wife's not talking and the TV's not on, come up for some help. All right. Doc, I finally got you to smile. I thought you were mad because I pulled you out of the sanctuary. Hey, we're done and we're going to have communion. Who's singing today? Dean? Bob?